Hey, everybody. Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We're freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. It's really good to be with you. And we have a dynamite blockbuster report on Representative Liz Harris, who was expelled from the state legislature for daring to question election integrity during an election integrity hearing. Absolutely amazing, the corruption that's in Arizona. But, folks, it's across the country. It's here. We're unable to unravel it. In your state, you may not see it quite as clearly, but I guarantee it's going on. Organized crime plus corrupt officials. Enjoy the presentation and learn a lot from it. Thanks for staying with us through that first break, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, really good to be with you here on the commonsenseshow.tv. Really good to be with you. And we have, as you can see, Liz Harris. And Liz, if you don't know the story, I'll just tell it very briefly. She was one of the people you'd go to in 2020 about election fraud. She did heroic work by canvassing thousands of homes in Maricopa County and concluded, I believe, 300,000 illegal votes were cast. And this is because voter rolls are never cleaned up here in Arizona. And she managed to get herself elected to the state legislature, and they had an election integrity meeting, and she was allowed to bring in a witness, and it was approved. She did not run the meeting, and they didn't like what this person had to say, despite the fact that reportedly this report is 120,000 pages long with 20,000 affidavits. And part of it, I know, has been adjudicated in New York already, and it involves organized crime and the payoff of officials, and that organized crime would be the Sinaloas. And if we talk Sinaloas, we talk Chinese, and you know from my show that China has its roots in local politics as well as national politics. So it's one big happy mess that we have here. And Liz, a few months into her term, was expelled from the legislature. And she's not the only one who's had the politics of this state in Arizona weaponized against her. And anyone who speaks out against election integrity in an official position gets the full brunt of, let's put it this way, we'll remove you from office. So Liz, welcome to the show. And people who follow me regularly know where I stand with election integrity. They know it's a national problem, but Arizona seems to be one of the epicenters of this issue here. So I'm just going to kind of leave it to you. Where do you want to start, and what do you think the people need to know?
So what's interesting is expelling me was not enough for them. After I was expelled, I guess it was probably in response to a lot of people who had supported the election integrity work I had been doing, them not being very happy with the expulsion. And so these people got basically targeted or labeled as Liz Harris minions, Harrisites, oh, you must be a Liz Harris fan. And the attacks, what I'm watching, like up until today, now I got expelled on April 12th, and here we are in August, and I can't believe it, but the people who support election integrity, the people who want to try to censure the 18 Republicans who expelled me, they're getting the heat's on them right now. And that makes me really sad. Because the legislators, those who expelled me, and even those who didn't expel me, they have been on speaking circuits, and everything gets to me. Sometimes it's recorded. These are the Republicans. They're just spreading one mistruth after another mistruth about me. And, you know, I'm going to get some documents in writing today on something new that the legislators are saying about me. And I scratch my head because I'm like, was expelling me not enough? No, it was not. They have to stop the narrative. And I'm going to remind everyone that those who voted yes to expel me, the 18 who voted yes, they are also the people at the Capitol. Again, these are Republican representatives who did not truly want to see any type of election reform that had teeth to it. Why these other Republicans are not very happy with me, I think it has to do with John Thaler, which is part of the reason they're claiming I got expelled.
The Breaker Report. I just want to throw that in because that's the phrase
we've been
using. The
Breaker Report, right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's John Thaler, who is the forensic attorney behind it. They're not happy with statements that he's making. So, you know, when he makes a statement, they're not happy. And then the next thing you know, you've got the Arizona Republic. And I'm going to tell you that I believe mainstream media works for the establishment Republicans mm-hmm. in the same way they work for the Democrats. It's no different. So then, you know, John Thaler makes some statements. Then next thing you know, you have this horrible Arizona article on John Thaler about, you know, he's a felon and just all this stuff.
Was it all made up? I read the article. Well, is it all made up?
What it is they're not reporting on it correctly. So is there an arrest? Do they want John to come back into the state so they can arrest him? Yeah. What is it about? It's about trumped up charges that he evaded police. I mean, we can go on and on. And that's part of the reason when you get, when I'll give you a great example. When one of the legislators starts coming after me and telling people such falsities about me, that makes me like want to dig into, okay, what is it that they're hiding? So when John started discovering things and he realized what his wife had been doing, which is forging documents, it just makes you dig deeper. And so right now my position is that a lot of these Republicans that are making up false narratives where I'm sitting here and I'm saying, I know that's not truthful, you know, and I'm the type of person, like I have self-awareness. I'm like, well, could there be any truth to what they're saying? And sometimes I'm like, no, like, where are they getting this from? And so then, again, I'm just kind of, they're kind of going on my list of these are not Republicans I can trust. And I think if we just go back 5-10 years, and I'm not talking about the McCain people, if we just go back 5-10 years, I think a lot of us trusted the elected that had the R behind their name. And now I'm going to let you know, I can trust no more than about 5% of them based on everything that they're putting me through, this continual speaking circuit, what they're doing to the people who do support me or the people who do support election integrity. It's just, it's unreal. It's unbelievable. And my summary is 2023 is the year of exposure. So when these elected officials come out hard against people, we need to start looking at them.
Yeah, I've been waiting to get my hands fully on the Breger Report so I can take it apart. But I am going to use that information to launch our own investigation on this end. But their behavior speaks to their guilt. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. I did some research on John Thaler. I can find no evidence he broke any laws other than exposed criminality. And he also has been avoiding talking to me after he was engaged with me. And I know why now. You've clarified that today, that the authorities are after him. But here's the thing about John Thaler. They paint him in the media as a lunatic conspiracy theorist, yet the man has done 30 years of RICO investigations privately and for the government. So he's eminently qualified to be launching the kind of investigation he launched. And the fact that there are reportedly 20,000 affidavits, and I know part of this with the fake real estate companies was adjudicated in the Southern District Court of New York, lends credibility to what he's done. And I'll say this here too. This report, people, says, and I just want to clarify this before we go forward. This report says the Sinaloa cartel has engaged for years in fake real estate companies, and I'm simplifying it without being too technical, and they launder the money, and they've used it to groom lawyers to become judges so they control the system. They go after key public officials, elected officials, and money gets thrown their way, and it's one big happy family as they collude to interfere in our elections as well, and then they smash people after the fact who challenge elections. Do you think I summarized that okay in a kind of Reader's Digest format?
Yeah, but the thing that like I'm just coming to the realization of over the last couple weeks, it's the Sinaloa cartel, but it's the American cartel too.
Yes.
Because a lot of, you know, when you think of a cartel member, you think of MS-13, you think of people that are brutal. But it's not that. You know, I've seen some recent publications and I've heard some stories that, you know, the cartel, they're in our high schools. They have children, you know, young adults, they're not quite adults yet, but youngsters that represent the cartel. And, you know, some teachers they're not to dare report them for having done anything wrong. They'd rather vacate their position than report something if there's a suspicion that this person. And so here we are at the high schools. Do we think it stops there? No, it's in our businesses. It's everywhere. And I also like recently got a report where there were some investment bankers, highfalutin, and they literally turned their back. Like they did not want to do business with Arizona because it's pretty well known that there's cartel activity here and it's pretty pervasive. Do I think Arizona is the only state? No, I think it exists in all 50 states, but I just happen to think that Arizona is one of the worst. And it's scary. And I'm a person, I have clean background, and I just want to see the corruption end. And I've been told you will never end the corruption. And it's kind of like voting, election reform. We will never completely eliminate any type of fraud whatsoever. But if we can get the corruption down to 0.001%, if we can get the election anomalies down to 0.001%, I think that's all people want. We want a country, a state, a county, a city, a town of law and order.
I had a law enforcement person who's in favor of what you and I are doing. And he visited with me in a location, let's put it that way. And we left our cell phones outside and all the usual stuff. And you always worry about CCTV. But anyway, what he told me was this. He said, Dave, even if Carrie Lake had been elected, she would not have been able to change the level of criminality here and the influence on things like elections, because the cartel influence and organized crime in general is so embedded into our system. And he felt that her relatives would have been endangered. They would have started killing family members or friends as a warning to stop. And I said, would that extend to Katie Hobbs if she had a come to Jesus moment? And he said, I believe it would. Do you think his assessment of how embedded these forces are is accurate?
Yes. I don't know if they'd be brave enough to outright kill family members. That would be pretty they would be not intelligent of them. But what I can tell you is that I know that Carrie Lake's hands would have been tied. And here's why her hands would have been tied. You see, in 2021 and 2022, Senator Sonny Borelli and Senator Warren Peterson, you know, they're like, yeah, we want election reform. But if you remember, they blamed it on House member Paul Boyer, and they blamed it on in the first year. And then the second year, they blamed not being able to get the election reform because of Speaker of the House at the time, Rusty Bowers. So and even Senator Borelli says, we've got two Judases. Now, so my point here is that at that time, we had a Republican governor, Doug Ducey. However, our Republican legislators, they used single scapegoats, Paul Boyer and Rusty Bowers. But the reality of it, when I served my 3 months and 3 days, I can tell you emphatically, like without a doubt, that 80 to 90% of those legislators did not want one day, one vote, smaller precincts, paper ballots, hand counts, election results that night, strong voter ID. They did not want that. They would fight me on one thing or the other.
And well, why do you think they didn't want it? Is it because if the system can cheat you, the system can reward you?
Because they're the benefactors of the way the system is right now. That's one. And they know that if they toe the line, they will hold that seat. So toe the line, do what's expected of you by leadership, so member serving, and then also do it, listen to the special interest groups and the lobbyists, because they will spend money. I think a lot of it is a facade. They'll spend $1 million against you to make sure you don't win. Well, I know plenty of times where they've spent $1 million against someone and yet they still win. And it's because the system is rigged. The other thing I want to mention, a constituent or a voter did a public information request. And I just got this in within the last week. And the public information request asked for any information on my expulsion. And what he got back, what he was looking for, was on the House Resolution 2003, which expelled me. He was looking for the sponsor of the resolution. Here's what's really odd. There was no sponsor. However, there were four co-sponsors. Not a single one of them were Democrat. The four co-sponsors were Ben Thoma, Travis Grantham, Leo Biasucci, and Teresa Martinez. That's our leadership. So the leadership took it upon themselves to co-sponsor the resolution to expel me. And again, not a single Democrat signed it.
Biasucci is female and from the Kingman area?
Leo Biasucci.
Oh, Leo. And he's from Mojave County, right?
Mojave.
Okay. I was warned about him by people in that county. I spoke up there to a large group at a church, and I was warned he talks a good game about election integrity, but he's a flipper. In other words, he never follows through and he supports the other side. Yeah.
And they're saying that he is slated to be the next Speaker of the House because Ben Thoma will term limit out. Now, I do have a document from 2009 and 2012. I mean, Leo Biasucci, he does have a felony. Now, granted, it was set aside, but the felony is for computer tampering and alteration of data. And I'm just, these are the people that we're electing to office. It's just a question. Now,
how did he get this set aside? This sounds very odd to me.
I don't know.
That tells me it was set aside so he could run for office.
It's very possible. And he was also a member of the Green Party. And he has a whole explanation for that. But, I'm sad because, again, I trusted him. I trusted Leo. Right before he got elected as majority leader, I had breakfast with him. I told him what my concerns were on election integrity. Like, literally, they sit there and they shake their head and they're lying to you. They're not telling you the truth. They don't feel the same way you do.
Yeah, well,
because if they felt this way, they'd get something done. Now, they just did some amazing, it's not good, amazing in a good way, but they just got Katie Hobbs to possibly bend on eliminating rental tax, which I'm a huge supporter of, in exchange for this, an amendment to Proposition 400, which is the transportation excise bill, excise tax. So they just got Katie Hobbs to do something amazing. Like, again, with rental tax for this, it's a trade-off. It's constant trade-offs. They could have really gotten something with election reform if they tried hard enough, and they don't. It's a problem.
Yeah, well, they're still deal making. We have expansive growth in northwest of Phoenix and west of Phoenix. And I've kind of figured this out, Liz, and it's special politics and everything. Out in our area, we've looked at who some of the developers are, and some are Democratic donors. Some support Rhino candidates, and their developments go through without consideration for depleting the water levels. Yet some of those ones who are more conservative, like Jerry Colangelo, well-known in Arizona, his development's now been put on hold because of water considerations. And as I look at this, it's just special politics everywhere. It's not just an election integrity. It's who gets the biggest stick. And you mentioned Ducey. In the lockdown, here's the objection I had, and I challenged Ducey on this several times publicly. How can you be on the board of TGen that makes money on the vaccines and claim to be objective in your role as governor? This is our state. This is the conflicts of interest that exist. And I told you about my concerns with Karen Fan and Fan Construction. I wanted to ask you, too, about Wendy Rogers. If you don't want to comment, I understand. But I interviewed Wendy long enough that I felt she was really on the side of election integrity. And my source tells me that she did have an election stolen from her, and then she was able to get through. After she made some unsubstantiated claims on my show, and I asked her, I wrote her repeatedly, I said, I'm getting challenged by my audience. Can you give me some data? And she wouldn't answer. So finally, I came out and I just says, I don't put my name on this, people, because until she can demonstrate this is true. And she took to Rumble and she took to chastising me on Rumble. She entitled the piece, and you can go look this up, Clueless Dave Hodges. And here's my concern about Wendy Rogers. She pretends to be for election integrity, but I don't see her taking any action. She ran the meeting that you got expelled for and congratulated Jackie Brager, the participant, your witness, for being a brave and courageous person. Nothing happens to her, and now she's on the committee heading crypto for the state. And if they bring in central bank digital currency, which is the end of everything for us, it's the end of all freedom, all financial freedom, all liberty, she would probably be the one that would be in charge of ushering that in. Do you have any reactions to what I just said? Do you have any knowledge of this?
So Wendy Rogers and I, my first clue that something was not right, we go back to the year, I believe it was 2000. Her cousin was a friend of mine. And so I've literally broken bread with Wendy over holiday meals. And again, this goes back 23, almost 24 years. And when I did the canvas and we were finding certain things, I texted Wendy and said, you know, can my husband and myself meet with you and Hal, her husband, and can I show you the things we're finding? Because I understood her to be interested in election integrity. Silence, nothing, just like what you're saying, not a peep. And yet she's tweeting like crazy how important election integrity is and how well the audit was being run. And I'm just like, something's not adding up. Now, when I would see her in person, I felt, now this is my perception, that when it was a crowd where it was popular to give Liz Harris a big greeting, she'd come up and hug me. When it was a crowd where she didn't need to give me that kind of acknowledgement, like she literally kind of ran for me. So something was definitely not right. So I am disillusioned with how much money she has raised. I think it's like $3.3 million. She and Mark Fincham share the same campaign consultant, which is kind of odd because I've been told it's a family member of Wendy. It's just, there's a lot of things where, you know, I thought Wendy was a fighter. She's Air Force. You know, I have a postcard of her here on my desk, her with Donald J. Trump, but I'm beginning to think she's not as MAGA as she's led us to believe. Now that's my personal opinion. I don't think you can sue a person because Wendy is very quick to sue people. She actually files the suits. So, you know, I want to love Wendy, but I don't see the proof in the pudding.
Yeah, she went on Charlie Kirk last year, and she was on repeatedly, well, it was during the 2022 election, so in the aftermath, and she was on repeatedly. She said all the right things. I even texted her. I told her, I said, Wendy, did a good job here, and I want you to know I'm proud of you for saying these things. But then she turns around and doesn't support you. And you're the one out there at the top of your lungs saying our elections are being stolen. And she didn't take one step forward to help you. And I will tell you this. If what you did was so egregious that you had such an outrageous person present and that you deserve to be expelled, well, then so did she. Because she ran the damn meeting. And she put the seal of approval on that meeting at the end.
So here's what happened. So I asked for the special permission to have a joint hearing, and it was the idea of Colonel Ivan Raiklin, who's a constitutional attorney out of Virginia. And I gave five speakers. and I had little asterisk substitution available for anyone who's not able to attend. So Senate President Warren Peterson and Speaker of the House Ben Thoma signed off on it as long as I did not have subpoena power. I'm like, I don't need subpoena power. These are friendlies. Jacqueline Brigger was not even on the list. She wasn't even a consideration. So I got approval from for this meeting somewhere around February 12th, 13th, and the meeting was on February 23rd. A call from Ivan Raiklin. I got a couple calls from him, but he said two of our witnesses may not be able to make it. And I said, please continue to try to get them. And then Ivan wanted to talk about how the, you know, according to the U.S. Constitution, the state of Arizona does have the plenary power to nullify the election. So he wanted to speak about that. But according to Ivan, he got multiple calls from Senator Borelli saying, don't you dare go there. So the big bomb of the day, if you want to call it a bomb, was Ivan saying, you know, I really think you guys need to use your plenary power and decertify, pull back the electors. That never happened because for whatever reasons, Ivan said, you know, I'm a man of my honor, Sonny's Marine, I'm Green Beret. You don't go against anyway, but something was supposed to happen where one of the people sitting on the dais were supposed to ask Ivan, so do you think decertification or nullification is something we should do? That's what the whole, you know, funny thing about
decertifying
is.
The vote. I want to make sure people
right
know.
Decertifying the vote, okay, for not just 2022, but for 2020 and mm-hmm. 2022. Again, that was the objective. So my objective was getting as much on the record as possible, because I was with all these Republicans who were not standing with me shoulder to shoulder on getting the election reform legislation passed. So that was my objection. You know, decertifying 2020, like at this point, you'd have to unroll all the legislation, all every bill that went into law, because you'd be like, you'd be turning the clock back. But anyway, that aside, Sonny Borelli is the one who's like, Wendy doesn't need to be involved in the planning. I'm the one who's doing the planning with you, Liz. And because he's a senior senator member, I talked to Sonny on the phone. When Ivan told me, Sonny said, I can say this and this, but I can't say that, I was pretty mortified. And it's funny because, again, this is before I knew Brigger was
Hold on. Give me an example of what he said he couldn't talk about. What's the most important thing he said, I can't talk about this.
Okay, so Ivan Raiklin was on Tucker just a few short weeks prior to this idea of the joint hearing. And on Tucker, Ivan explained, according to the U.S. Constitution, what articles precisely you use to basically pull back the electors.
Right.
That is what Sonny Borelli was aware of what Ivan's position was. Ivan was not allowed to present on that. So Ivan came in. I mean, this Ivan wanted to explain that the national, like the Hunter Biden laptop, there's stuff that happened at the national level, the international level, the state level, that all interfered with Arizona's elections. But again, Sonny did not want, like, for whatever reasons, these guys, they truly do not want election reform. Like, it's weird. And sometimes, like when I was in closed caucus behind closed doors, like it's like they were so fearful that the media would beat up on them. I'm like, you know what? Do you not realize the more the media beats up on you, the more the voters are going to love you? There's a lot of, not all voters, but there's plenty of voters that are going to love you if when the media beats up on you. So again, I sent something 2 days before the hearing to Thoma and to Warren Peterson. I said, since when do we tell our speakers what they can testify to and what they can't? And I kind of got a message back stating, well, you know, you got to consult the chair. But
who Wendy, is the chair? Who is the chair then?
Wendy Rogers.
Okay. All right.
But Wendy Rogers had no interest in the planning of any of this until about 36 hours prior, I get this message that if you want this agenda published, we're going to have to go over this. I'm like, wait a second. I'm in open caucus, which is a televised thing. I had to be at, it's at 7 something at night. And we were like barely beginning. And Wendy Rogers is now telling me she wants me. And I'm trying to pay attention to the bills that we're discussing. And so I excuse myself with Representative Alex Coladin. And Wendy's not on the phone, but Sonny Borelli's on the phone, kind of complaining to me, complaining about me to Alex Coladin. Alex hands me the phone, and Sonny's like, Liz, who do you have coming in? And so I ran down the list with him and the topics as to what they were going to speak about. And then when I got to Jacqueline Brager, I told him about her testifying to the ballots in the vans. And then he cut me off because the second she was going to testify to that I was aware of were the backdoor portals. He cut me off and he goes, well, I've got Eric Spican. I want him to be the one to start at 9 o'clock in the morning because he's got a flight he's got to catch. I'm like, okay, Sonny, if that's what you want, no problem. We'll add him to the, you know, Sonny's the one did not want any names of any of the speakers on the agenda, which is a whole separate story. But, I understood that what, you know, this stuff about Wendy wanting information, I think it was really Sonny Borelli just wanting to get Eric squeezed in somehow. And I said, no problem. And I kind of forfeited one of my presentations in order to get to meet Senator Borelli's request. But the whole thing about the no names, it was Senator Borelli who said, when we publish the agenda, we're not going to publish any of the speakers. So in one of these text messages of mine that somehow got broadcast, which is fine, I admit it. Yeah, they're my text message. Jacqueline Brager said that she wanted, I said, I need a title for your presentation. And she said, John Thaler Law Firm presents. And I said, no names. So they use that. They spun that against me to say I was trying to hide John Thaler.
Oh, okay, no, I got it.
I was honoring what Sonny Borelli had asked us to do in the week before. See, and what these guys don't realize, not all the time, but very often when I think it was God, sometimes it was like, Liz, you better record this. Arizona is a one-party recording state. You better record this in case you need to defend yourself one day. So a lot of these things I do have recordings of, and they don't have a leg to stand on. The problem is that they have legislative immunity. So they can literally call me a serial killer and get away with it. And that's the problem I'm having right now. They can literally say anything they want about me. I am no longer a legislator. I don't have legislative immunity.
This is why... Liz, let me say this. This is why when I told you about a specific state rep, why this person wasn't willing to come forward, despite being involved in some pretty detailed conversations about election integrity fraud. And because this person would know it's not going to matter what I say because they're protected. Do you think that's true?
Yeah. It's not only that they're... So you've got the protections, but then there's the other factor that is very important. And that is that our three branches of government, they're all broken here in Arizona and they're all supporting one another. And it's not even party related. It's like it's the uniparty. It's really sad. And I think the worst. Which kind of stays in place year after year. It's not just the staff. It's the legislative legal counsel. They drove most of what happened in that ethics hearing. They're the ones who removed 10 of my 14 exhibits for my ethics hearing. I'm pretty sure they're the ones who wrote the 9-page letter that the ethics committee signed. Just the way it's written, you can tell. And, you know, those people stay in place you know, speaker after speaker after speaker.
So it's the deep state. It's the deep state of Arizona government.
100%.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Ladies and gentlemen, as we process this, you're saying, I don't live in Arizona. Same thing's going on in your state. I guarantee you. And you hear me once in a while talk about Fulton County or Pennsylvania, whatever around the country. And you'll hear Paul Preston come on with me. And we've talked about this in California in detail. And the reason that we bring this up, because it's everywhere. The locations change, but the strategies stay exactly the same. You know, here's one thing that really bothered me. Early in the 2022 lead up to the election, people were videotaping ballot stuffing going on in Phoenix. And some of this even made the news and the mainstream media, because when a judge came out and says, if you do this, I'll throw you in jail. Okay. And the thing is you can videotape whatever the eyes see. And unless you're within the prohibited distance, you can go to any type of voting activity. You can do whatever you want in terms of videotaping. You know, I knew something was wrong with the GOP when they didn't meet and go after a law that would circumvent this judge's ruling. I said at that point, I said, the fact that the GOP did not stand up to this ruling and pass their own law tells me that a lot of them are in on it. Did that thought ever occur to you too?
There, I know that they're in on it for so many reasons.
Yeah, I know. And I'm just giving you one
reason. That would be one of them. Yeah.
That was a big wake-up call for me. And I just look at this and I just scratch my head, because in Arizona, it doesn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat. I want to ask you if you know about this. I've been told by a score of people that Maricopa County supervisor at the time of the 2022 election, Bill Gates, and the county clerk and recorder, Stephen Reicher, formed a pack to go after America First candidates and get rid of them. In the same way, Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer collaborated against America First candidates in the Senate. And especially when McConnell pulled the funding for eight senators like McMaster's, and I believe six of them lost, two of them won. All eight races were winnable, but they had their funding pulled at the midnight hour. So you have Gates, a Republican, Reicher, a Republican, basically going after Carrie Lake. How much do you know about that?
Well, I know there's truth to it, and I don't know if the governor signed it, but while I was still a legislator, I know we attempted to pass legislation to stop the ability of these people in these positions to be able to form PACs. So yeah, there's truth to it. I don't know what else to say about it's a practice that has to stop.
Well, Doug Ducey too. I mean, okay, we're talking cartel influence in our politics. China controls the cartels. All right. So when you take a look at this, Doug Ducey, the former governor, he gave a speech in 2017. I don't even know if I've ever told you this or you know about this, but I've seen the transcript in South China. This is actually where I first found it, the South China publication in Asia. And he was at the Governor's Association, Chinese equivalent of the National Chamber of Commerce was there. And he said, we in Arizona love doing business with China. They need rare earth minerals for their military. And when I read that, I go, oh my God, that's treason, because they are our enemy. And he's talking about supplying our enemy with resources that they need. I knew then we were in trouble. So then go forward in the post-election period of 2020, Donald Trump asked Doug Ducey to look into the election and he refused. Do you believe Ducey, Republican governor, is a uniparty member?
Yes.
Yeah, I do too, for the reasons I said. And I just want people to get the idea. The old paradigm of Republican and Democrat don't apply. I believe the Republicans had more to do with election theft in 2022 than the Democrats. Do you share that view?
I would say it was equal.
Okay.
I personally think it's in concert. Like I don't think one party has more to blame than the other.
So
and a lot of the Republicans are running around constantly saying, Liz, you're breaking up the Republican Party. This is all the Democrats. I'm like, no, you got to clean up your backyard before you can point the finger.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This Via Succi, there was an activist in Kingman who had him agree to come on my show, and I was watching him publicly, and I got to tell you, just personal reaction, no data, I got the creeps. I said, I'm sorry, but I don't trust the guy. I don't think he's on the right side. And as you're telling me now, he's one of the signatories against you as a co-sponsor to expel you. My instincts were right on the money. And he's a Republican. People, this is what's no Democrats were co-sponsors to expel Liz. This is what I really want our audience to understand. So, Liz, I'm kind of beating the drum on anti-incumbency in the upcoming election with a few people who would we might want to retain.
Yes.
Like Comer, for example. I think he's earned his stripes. Do you think anti-incumbency is the approach that the voting public should take to clear the deck?
Yes. Thank you for bringing that up. I've never quite called it anti-incumbency. I've called it vote them all out.
Yeah. We should start a website called tossthemall.com.
Toss them all. Now, there are in the House, there are two that I would ask that you, I don't think they've, since I left, I'm pretty sure they haven't been corrupted. The two I would suggest out of Legislative District 17, which is the Tucson, Pima County area, Rachel Jones, Corey McGarr. When the resolution was read to expel me, they literally turned their chairs, they turned their back to the speaker. So I support them. I really don't want to give anyone else my complete support because they all have different things which I'm just, you know, I'm scrutinizing more than I ever have. I mean, it could be as simple as who is the if the legislator is not in business for themselves. Most of us, we had our own businesses. But if you work for a certain entity, like what is that employer trying to get out of you being a legislator? And I know that could be controversial, but I've seen things. And again, those two people I mentioned, just and Jim O'Connor, he's the Arizona Corporate Commission. Other than those three, I would love to have a clean slate. And I'm sorry if I'm offending anyone, but you have not shown your stripes as part, you haven't proven yourself.
Well, like I said, three categories. Those who are corrupted, those who are covering for the corrupt, and those who are too chicken bleepers to do anything about it. The chicken bleepers need to be gone to. They need to be unelected to.
Yeah, but the chicken bleepers, or the chickens, they know things. That's what like amazed me about them voting for my expulsion, the chickens. Like they automatically come to mind. And it's not just that they're chickens. They know things. And as you said, yeah, they're afraid to come ahead.
There's an aspect to this, though. I want, before we conclude, I want to make sure we get this in, Liz. When they removed you, they go back to the Republicans and they say, okay, you're going to have three candidates run. And so there was a second election in your district and the Maricopa County supervisors get to choose the top three. From the top three, they'll choose one candidate. Can you talk about what happened there and the percentage of the vote that you got and how your voters were disenfranchised?
Sure. So it's a special meeting. It has to be done within 6 days of the expulsion. Normally it's because someone resigns or dies. So it had to be done within 6 days, my legislative district 13, Chandler, part of Gilbert and Sun Lakes, they got together with all the precinct committee men. I was one of nine floor nominations for three positions. So on the first round of voting, you need to get 50% plus one to move forward. So I got 70% of the vote, 70% of the vote. So I moved ahead. So I was one of the three. So I got 70%. My running mate, who kind of abandoned me, but she got less votes than me. And then we had to go to round two, and a gentleman by the name of Steve Steele became the third candidate. So they did extensive background checks on us, and then they just kind of left us in limbo for weeks. Because again, I got expelled on April 12th. I did not have my interview until May 3rd. And so I know that my interview lasted about half an hour. Steve's was about 15 minutes. And then the person who wound up getting the appointment, her interview was about 45 minutes. So
let me ask you, was it a closed door meeting?
It was a closed door meeting.
So in other words, they could have been doing some deal making. Okay.
So, okay. I mean, I think when we put the three names forward, we know that we know who was going to get it. The point is they did not want me to have the seat.
Yeah, but they disenfranchised the voters. This is what I want the people to know. Not only did Liz get elected once, she got reelected a second time in the face of overwhelmingly bad publicity as the mainstream media lined up against her. And she still got 70% of that vote. And yet they didn't care at the county supervisors. You talk about election integrity, you're out. In fact, you know, one thing that we should mention in the 2020 election, there were two court rulings against the county supervisors because they did not surrender the election codes. And I knew this long before this ever came out in court. I had election officials contact me anonymously, three of them. And they said, Dave, we're supposed to have the codes when we're on the floor. And they said, we did not have the codes. And this was a problem. And I said, I wanted the codes. I had talked about this because I wanted to see if the votes were counted in China off Dominion voting machines. And so that prompted them to contact me. And what's really interesting, Liz, about this is that two judges and Brnovich, the attorney general, said, you will surrender those codes. And they had this big song and dance press conference where they said they gave it to the sheriff, Paul Pinzone, which was a total lie. And they have still never surrendered those codes. Were you involved in that end of it or not? Did you?
Well,
were you,
I think
were you
I remember it's because didn't Paul Pinzone say there's too much personal information that. I mean, we were gaslit.
He said it would compromise past criminal cases. And I thought, whoa, wait a minute. Right. Do you hear what he's saying? He's saying they took the election data and he's saying they combined it with criminal cases. That doesn't even make any sense.
They gaslit us the entire time.
Oh, yeah. The audit was the fraudit. By the way, when I came out with the election integrity stuff, And I said, I have three, and I know they're unnamed sources, but I'm telling you, there's now two court rulings that support my assertion. And I went through five ways the election was stolen. This is when you were coming out with the canvassing at the same time. At the time I did that, a gentleman who I've introduced you to by text now, and I'm sure you'll be going on his show, Paul Preston had me on a show to talk about you and canvassing and all this other stuff. And what's interesting is he got a call from someone and told him, basically, if you don't stop supporting Hodges, he's going to get you killed. And Sarah Westall, someone else I want to introduce you to, a great journalist, she received similar kinds of actions. I had 13 people that I knew personally that were contacted after I published my report in May of 2021. And it all came from audit sources, people connected to the audit. So they wanted to bury this, and they were threatening me. I was getting death threats at the time when I came out with this, and we really felt that our team had caused the sheriff to have that press conference with the county supervisors saying, oh, I had the codes, which we knew was a lie. So right. The whole thing is so corrupt. But where do you go from here? Because I don't see the basis for legal expulsion of you. I look at this and I'm saying you committed no crime. Okay. The report spoke for itself. You didn't sit here and say, I believe points 1, 2, 3, and 4. How could they legitimately and legally expel you from office?
The whole thing was a witch hunt. It was an illegal expulsion. They're trying to say that I worked with Jacqueline Breger in preparing that report and that I had known the contents that were going to be presented that day. I actually, and you may have heard me say this before, I told Jacqueline and John Thaler, this is an election integrity, so it has to relate to election integrity. So I was not prepared for them to have spoken about everything they did, but it happened. And I'm just like, you know what? I don't regret it happened. It cost me my seat, but I just figured it was part of God's plan.
You find it interesting that Ben Thoma is mentioned in the report. The Breger report of suspicious activity, we'll just put the quotes around it. And yet he was the driving force to get you out.
Well, that's really interesting because I actually specifically asked them not to impugn any legislators. Like if they wanted to speak in generalities, but if it related to election integrity, and also not to speak about any religion. And I'm a realtor by trade, and I just always wear that fair housing cap. So, and unfortunately, even though Jacqueline Brigger didn't speak the words of a church or the Speaker of the House, they were incorporated in the report. And that's one thing that they came after me very hard on.
Because they mentioned the Mormon religion, is that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, hey, look, Jews commit crimes, Mormons commit crimes, atheists commit crimes.
Catholics commit crimes.
Exactly. I don't see how they could link that to expelling you. I mean, it's ridiculous. Is there a legal challenge coming to the expulsion?
So first, most attorneys run from a case like this because of all the sanctions.
I know this all too well, yeah.
There was an expelled member. Funny, it's the same House resolution number, 2003. Don Shooter, my understanding is that he spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to try to defend himself on his illegal expulsion. And now a lot of attorneys, since that ruling, that like final ruling just came out right at the time of expulsion, attorneys are worried that if they pick this case up, that the judge will say, hey, we've got precedent here, and the judges will come after them. You know that third category you mentioned, people who are chicken? Well, that's the majority of our legal profession. They don't want to take a case.
Yeah.
Again, I think I have an amazing case. If this were a corporation that fired me, I would be so wealthy right now. I've got everything documented. I've got recordings. I know what I did was not a reason to have me expelled. And I know that that 9-page ethics report that the legislators are going to these meetings and handing out, well, here's why we expelled Liz. It's like a deck of cards. They're just flipping them out to everyone. And I'm like, well, there has to be truth to the 9-page report. And at least 80% of it is just, it's a spin. It's their narrative. It's not truthful.
Yeah, I hear you.
I don't have the microphone that they have.
Well, the one thing we can do, because I do have a microphone and we go across the country, but we have a pretty good Arizona audience. And I speak to a lot of the tea parties around the state. We're going to sing this anti-incumbency. I hope you run for re-election in 2024. I won't blame you if you don't, because I know what you've been through. I know you've suffered professional harassment in your real profession. You and I've talked about that privately, and I'll leave that to you to disclose at another time if you want to. But they don't just come after you to get you out of the legislature. They threaten you, which you've had happen. And also, too, they go after your business. It's complete cancel culture when you challenge elections. That's what the lesson I've learned. Fortunately, I'm insulated. This is all I do now. You know, if I were still teaching at the post-secondary level, I probably wouldn't have a job very long. I already know that to be true. So, Liz, I want to thank you for coming on. I'm going to put you in contact with several media colleagues I have who have substantial shows. And the ones I send you, I highly recommend, because they will tell your story the way it is. But ladies and gentlemen, listen to me across the country. I'm going to try to lead as much as I can an anti-incumbency movement here in Arizona. And we have kind of a platform to do it. We have a recall of Katie Hobbs coming up, the governor who stole the election from Carrie Lake. And also, too, we have this case with Liz that we're going to point to. But we're going after this. We are going after this hard. And I would encourage you in your state that you do the same thing. And you got to do this in the primary. And I want to make sure people hear this. You can't wait to the general election to vote. You got to vote in the primary. And I've kept my name on the Republican Party docket. I said I was going to quit, and I decided against it because I want to be part of that primary decision-making process. There's a lot we didn't get to cover because I want to cover what's happened in Mojave County and stuff. So we're going to have you back on. But Liz, be safe. Ladies and gentlemen, pray for Liz. Do you do anything in terms of collecting money for your legal defense fund?
No, I don't collect any money. So yeah, I do not collect money. No, I'm not one of them.
I know why you're saying that, but I know exactly why you're saying that, Liz. But you kind of think, just last question here, it's a fool's errand for you to sue to get your seat back.
I don't know that they'd give my seat back. I would sue for damages. I mean,
Okay.
Google Liz Harris, Arizona right now. And at one point there were 30 pages of what a whack job I was. I mean, I think we're down to 19 pages now, but it's what they have done to my reputation is
Yeah.
despicable. But
Yeah.
I take the seat back too.
Yeah. Any chance you'll run for re-election, which might be easier in getting your seat back that way?
To be determined.
Okay. Well, we need people like you in government. And ladies and gentlemen, listen, do your part in your state. And if you're in Arizona, you know how to get a hold of me. We're going to start the anti-incumbency movement. Liz,
Good.
Thank you so much for
Thank
joining
you.
us. God bless you. And I'll be in touch because I want to get you out there with my colleagues who can give you substantial coverage.
Okay, thank you.